architect Hugh Wallace. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Brendan.
Now, Hugh, people know you from Home of the Year, among other things, but you have a new show, and you're here to make a case, really, for the good old-fashioned Irish bungalow, which I suppose has got a bit of a bad name in recent years, hasn't it?
A bit of a beating, totally unnecessarily. You know, these are amazing structures, and quite interestingly, it's an architectural style that is very much an Irish style.
This is a uniquely Irish thing, is it?
Not really, but the form and the shape of the bungalow in Ireland is definitely unique. And that was inspired by Jack Fitzsimons 50 years ago when his first publication of My Bungalow Bliss appeared on the bookshelves and was the bestseller for the following 15, 16 years, every year. And an amazing book because it delivered housing solutions for people who lived in the countryside.
And this was an extraordinary kind of movement that people mightn't know about. So people bought this book and then they went off and they build their own houses, essentially?
Yeah, they went off and built their own houses. It was a very different time in Ireland. You're going back 50 years. In the late 60s, only 40% of houses down the country did not have indoor toilets. And big families lived in 3 and 4 rooms. And the councils had stopped building council houses down in rural Ireland. And there was this huge need for new homes because there was a housing crisis, not dissimilar to today. And what Jack did was planning applications and planning permission and planning law had only been enacted in 1969. So for the first time, people had to apply for planning permission to build a house.
Hang on, was there no planning permission?
Not at all. You could build whatever you wanted. And that's what's quite interesting. You know, it's only 52 years since we had planning permissions in this country. Up to that, you could go off and do whatever you wanted, wherever you wanted. And so Jack, nobody knew how to draw drawings. Do you know? So all of a sudden, Jack produced this book. And it was a self-build. It was also, so at that time, you see, there were lots of EEC schools around the country. So you could go off and you could do a 6-week block laying course at the VEC, or a 6-week how to build your foundations, or a 6-week how to build your roof. And if you like, the original bungalows were so simple in terms of their structure. And the families would get together and literally build these bungalows. And then builders would build them and you'd say, I'd like the plan from house type 52 and it should be put on the site. And there you go. And we just built them and built them and built tens of thousands of them across our countryside.
So were they very badly built, a lot of them?
No, not at all. They were really very simple structures. They're all still standing. And that's where the opportunity is.
And was this people building on their parents' land, if
yeah.
you will, or next to the old homestead or whatever?
Well, also you had the situation that you had the Land Commission, and the Land Commission was dividing up large holdings into 50-acre plots and giving them to farmers and moving people from the west of Ireland into the Midlands. And really, 50 acres, you couldn't make a living. So road frontage became such an important factor. And being able to sell half-acre sites so you could send your kids to school or to college. And that's the reality. And like we talk about, you know, our villages and towns, the housing stock in them was deplorable as well. And an awful lot of the bungalows that are on the ribbon developments that everybody complains about are really the people from the town moving out to their half acre.
Right. And of course, road frontage was a very desirable thing in a man or a woman in those days, wasn't it, in terms of marriage? If you had the bit of frontage, you were... So was this also a question of that people who had been living in what we now would consider relative kind of squalor, this was the first time people had modern houses, if you will, out the country?
Correct. Absolutely. They had, you know, now they had maybe 5 or 6 rooms and they had the good room. But most importantly, they had an indoor bathroom. And we, you know, it's amazing how times have changed. because you have to remember that the 50s and the 60s in Ireland weren't exactly, you know, you had huge immigration out of this country. Huge. And our population by the end of the 60s was down at 2.9. Today it's at 6. So you just, you know, we forget how many people had left our country.
Yeah. And then in terms of the bungalows, then obviously they became part of the texture of the countryside and everything. But was there a particular point where we kind of fell out of love with them and they became kind of characterised as these carbuncles on the landscape that shouldn't be there?
Well, I think that's actually townies.
Yeah.
It's those people living in the cities, driving around, looking out the windows in their cars at the landscape, going, oh, isn't it disgraceful? They're allowing all those horrible bungalows to be built. This was a necessity. People have to understand, it was a necessity to have proper living accommodation. And then what happened, if you like, at the end of the 90s and 2000s, we sort of all got above our station. And so you have a scenario where, if you like, you have the original farmhouse, which, when the bungalow was built and the parents died, got neglected. And today you have a situation where the bungalow is now neglected and the big two-storey Georgian-esque building is being built beside it. But it really is time to look back at our bungalows and reimagine.
Okay, now before we do though, it's not just people coming out from towns and saying this is upsetting my view and my drive. Like we don't like one-off housing in the countryside anymore from an environmental point of view and the point of view of
sustainability.
Rural towns and everything.
Well, I think you have to have a balanced approach. And first of all, the towns and villages, there are thousands and thousands of buildings lying idle because they can't be repurposed because of problems with planning, but more importantly, problems with regulations to make them, you know, fit for. And what we have is a set of regulations that are for new builds, not for refurbishment of houses. And you can't jam what you require for a new build into an existing building. And that's what people have been asked to do. So they just give up because it's too expensive.
Okay.
So we have to address our towns and villages who are still deserted. People aren't living in them and they should be. So that's the first thing that has to happen.
And but you're saying, and we've talked about that before, that there is an unexploited housing stock that's there for us.
Yeah.
Are you saying that are there all these bungalows all over the country that are also an unexploited existing housing stock that
are
there?
Correct. Absolutely. Because, funny enough, what's happened is an awful lot of these houses were built by young couples. And if you like, they've come to the end of their cycle. And there's a huge number of bungalows sitting there waiting to be rescued, reused and reimagined. And the show is about showing what you can do in reimagining these amazing structures. And it is about, you know, sustainability. It's a reduced carbon footprint if you take a bungalow and you know, retrofit it, get it up to today's standards.
Yeah, the retrofitting seems to be working out very expensive. Is it much more than we thought when we had the kind of lovely notions of retrofitting everything?
Correct. That's another program, because I don't understand how it costs 100,000 to retrofit a home or 70 grand. It's just beyond me. And you know, again, in Ireland, we have a huge problem with the cost of construction. When you go up to Northern Ireland, the cost of construction is probably 60% of what it is in the Republic. And that's just nonsense. And the government is not addressing that. You know, so there's a whole, it's just quite amazing.
So in terms of a bungalow then, from an architectural point of view and everything, as a machine for living in, are they actually quite a nice, practical kind of house to live in?
I think they're an amazing home. They're all on one level. They usually have mature trees and vegetation around them because they were all built in the 70s, 80s and 90s. And they're on a single level. And so they make great homes. And also they make great homes because you can alter and change them quite easily. because of the nature of the structure. There was basically four outside walls and roof trusses. And to a great extent, you can remove an awful lot of the internal walls. So you can open up space. You can you know, grab light from the front of the house and from the back of the house or the side of the house. So they're just amazing structures.
Yeah, because there was I remember there was a dark bit in the middle, usually, wasn't there?
The corridor.
Yeah.
I love it.
So the new show is you're doing up these bungalows. Now, of course, we all know how to rent. Remember, the semi-Ds were really unfashionable.
Yes.
And then people realised these are great houses and started buying them. And we all know how you renovate one of them. You put a glass box with a large kitchen, living room, open space in the back. So what's the blueprint
the roof
for the
light.
New
Don't
bungalow?
Don't forget the roof light.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the main thing with the bungalow is you probably don't need an extension for today's families because they're about 1,200 square feet. And within that, you can create, you know, three bedrooms, nice big open plan living, kitchen, dining, and maybe even get in a small home office, an ensuite and a bathroom. You may put on a little extension. But the bungalow is about trying to find where the sunlight is in the evening and in the afternoon, because so many of these bungalows were plonked on the site and the good room always faced the road, but nobody got into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we have such a nostalgia for bungalows, you know.
You know what? I didn't, but actually you're kind of, you're talking me around to them now.
You know, we do have a nostalgia. We went to our grannies or our aunties and, you know, I remember the bungalow and the flowery carpets, the woolen carpet would be in the good room that you never got into except at Christmas.
Yeah, that was for the priest only,
I think, largely. And then there was only a front door and a back door, but nobody came in the front door because in the bungalow you could generally drive around the back and you got in the door.
Yeah,
but today we want, you know, big windows, we want sliding doors, we want that inside-outside living. And the bungalow is a perfect starting point.
Yeah, there are some bungalow fans now, Elaine in Limerick. It's a luxury in this day and age to live in a bungalow. They're so practical, low-rise and unobtrusive, wheelchair-friendly too, of course. And Mary says, Hugh Wallace is so right. Those bungalows were lifesavers. They could be constructed very comfortably. Everyone was able to rear their families in good comfort and without handouts from the state, says Mary. This is almost like, and we're looking back to this bucolic golden era of bungalows in Ireland where anyone could knock up their own house.
Correct.
Now, on the other hand, this texter says they're built without any reference to the frequently beautiful landscape. They've wrecked many areas. Parts of Donegal and Galway have been destroyed by them. Why do I suspect this person isn't from Donegal or Galway? Oh no, I grew up in the country in those times, so I understand the need and appreciate the exigencies of time. They should have been controlled. I grew up on a farm. I'm not a townie. Please don't imply they have architectural merit, Hugh Wallace.
They do. They have fabulous architectural merit because they are so simple. And they are so easy to renovate, change and reimagine.
So you got four different architectural practices in for this Show My Bungalow.
Yeah.
Place. And what kind of things did they do on the four bungalows?
Well, you have to watch the show, Brendan, because it's just spectacular what all of them have done. Like, you're going to be gobsmacked. You are going to be blown away by the imagination and creativity of the four architectural firms. And they are so different. And that's the interesting thing. The four solutions are just so different and so exciting.
Okay, I look forward to that. By the way, about a year ago, you spoke to me and you were quite passionate about it, about how we need to face up to the problem of alcoholism in society and that the pandemic had exacerbated it. You're still feeling passionately about it today?
Even more so because it's not mentioned today. You know, I do understand COVID is horrendous. And there are 600 people in hospital at the moment because of that. But also remember, today and every day, there are 1,200 people in our hospitals every day because of alcohol and the effects of alcohol. And we need to address it, and we're not. And we all have to think about the families, the children who are living in fear at home, with people drinking, with their parents, their brothers, their siblings, And the effect, the emotional effect that it has on these kids for the rest of their lives, it's brought with them. It affects them in the future. And I really am very passionate about this. I think that we're losing an opportunity and have lost an opportunity to save a generation from an affliction of alcohol. And it's okay. Just going on and on.
Okay. And listen, someone here is saying pure common sense from Hugh Wallace. If Hugh Wallace could bottle his common sense, he'd make a fortune. So common sense on bungalows and drinking. And the first episode of My Bungalow Bliss goes out at 9:35 on RT1 on December 1st. Hugh Wallace, thank you very much.
Thank you.